Blog Talk Radio.
Feel that chill, smell that fresh cut grass. I'm back in my helmet, cleats and shoulder pads. Standing in the huddle, listening to the call. Fans going crazy for the boys of fall.
Hey everybody. Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. I'm Dave Johnson. I'm your host. Glad to be here on Tuesday night. Talk a little bit about football, sports in general, whatever. We never know what we might get into or uncover. I do have in a little bit. I have several questions been sent to me today to answer and try to get over all of them and answer them as best I can. And in my honest opinion, I guess I should say, and so get into that. Been a good week in college football. We're finally getting into where some games are being played amongst some good teams and starting to see a few upsets. Wisconsin went down this week to Illinois. May have just saved Lovie Smith his job. I don't know if that's enough to or not, but yeah, they haven't did so well, you know, with his resume and his background and being to the Super Bowl and all that. It's just not been too good of a year or several years for him, as I may say, up there in Illinois. So, but nevertheless, they did knock off undefeated Wisconsin, which Wisconsin, in my opinion, is going to lose two in a row because they got to play Ohio State this week. I didn't get to see Ohio State play. I don't even know if they did or not, but I'm still sold on them being the best team in the country right now. Well, I've probably seen them play several halves, I guess, at different times, and to me, they look to be the most complete team. I know Alabama lost their starting quarterback for a week or two. They played Tennessee, and he got knocked out of the game, had ankle surgery. That's certainly going to hurt them, especially if he's not back to play against LSU. I know they play Arkansas this week. They can probably surely win without him this week, but I'd say playing LSU, they're definitely going to need it. So speaking of LSU, they got a tough game again this week. They play Auburn, and you know those conference games, man. I'm telling you, they're always division conference games. They're always tough. I mean, that's like, as well as Alabama's played this year and as good as they are, Tennessee held them to less points than anybody has all year. Tennessee, you know, should have a winning record, but they played poorly early on, and so therefore they don't. But, you know, it's these conference games, man. I'm telling you something about them. You know, it's just like in the pros when they play those divisional games and that stuff. And, you know, Tennessee and Alabama, they're always going to play. I heard them talk about that. You know, they're trying to get some of those games moved off where they can maybe get other ranked teams to play. But that's one game I heard them say they would never get rid of. So there's several teams in college football right now that I think, you know, can honestly win it. And, you know, I'll be honest, I don't think Clemson's one of them. I know I haven't been too high on them all year, but I watched them play more this week. And, you know, for a half, Louisville really played with them. I mean, Trevor Lawrence turned the ball over several times, throwing it into, you know, harm's way, and didn't need to, you know. Got a good arm, got good receivers over there. There's no sense to force that ball. He's good with his legs. He gained all kinds of yards running the ball. You know, it's hard to, you know, confidence can go a long way, and sometimes, you know, these players just get where they think they can, you know, do about anything with the ball, and that's what happens sometimes. Not saying that, you know, what it was with him, but, you know, it sure looked like he was just forcing the ball and throwed it up several times, and two of them got intercepted, and one of them his receiver, you know, came down with. So, we got Oklahoma undefeated. I think they're pretty good. I know I say pretty good, modest, but, you know, I don't think they've played these teams with the defense yet that they're going to have to win it all. I know Ohio State's not in the SEC, but they play defense up there like they're in the SEC. Then you got Alabama, of course, you got LSU, and, you know, what about Baylor? You know, I don't know. Maybe they'll have to play Oklahoma. I'm not sure, but, you know, they're undefeated. You got several teams there that, you know, each week you say they might get a little test, and they do get a little bit, and then they, you know, end up blowing them out. And, I mean, it's like Oklahoma. No doubt about it, Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. I mean, I think, you know, he proved that, started as a freshman, and won enough games to, you know, win that national championship just at the end, sort of didn't play good. They've helped him out in the passing game. You know, him rolling out and moving his legs with the threat to run it is a really big plus for him as far as throwing the ball and completing it. And, you know, something else, too, when you're rolling out and if you're doing it correctly, your eyes are always downfield. You start to run, the defense comes up, that you got open receivers moving around or you should have, and he's really good at finding those or running it when they don't come up. So, you know, that's just a little hint that some young quarterbacks out there, you know, I know we struggle with it in women's football with the quarterbacks we've had over the years. You know, we really struggle with back when they leave the pocket is, you know, to get their eyes downfield. They just want to tuck it and run and, you know, not really look beyond, you know, the person getting ready to tackle them. And usually there's somebody somewhere standing wide open. And, you know, it just comes with lots of reps. So, naturally, he's really good at that. That's one of his best, you know, his best, I don't know exactly what, you know, one of his best things he does the best, and he's really, really good at that. So, they're certainly playing good. I've seen their defensive stats. We watched the game. Me and Jennifer watched the game, and before they played, started playing, they showed last year's defense, and they were last in I don't know how many categories, and now they're in the number three or two in every category. So their defense is really, really helping their offense out as well. You know, they're getting scores, they're getting stops. You know, I'm telling you, and I know the Big 12 out there has been known to play, you know, offense more than they have defense over the years. But, you know, at some point when you run up on somebody that can stop you and, you know, control the clock and run the ball, they're going to beat you. In my opinion, that's what's happened to Oklahoma and a lot of these teams over the, you know, past few years. And You look last year when Clemson beat Alabama in the national championship game. They did Alabama what Alabama did to everybody else all year long. So I think these teams are starting to figure it out, you know, that winning a lot of games is okay. But, you know, if you're gonna win it all, you're gonna have to improve your defense. Speaking of that guy, the defensive coordinator, he used to be on Urban Meyer's staff at Ohio State. Left there and went somewhere else, and now he's the D coordinator for Oklahoma. So, yeah, I mean, they're Urban Meyer, Florida guy, learned to play defense, won those national championships at Florida. He learned, listen, you're going to win it all. You're going to play in the SEC. You got to play some defense. And I think that's why Ohio State's so good now. I know he's not coaching that team, but he certainly has a hand in it, you know, and they're pretty much his players. And I just think that, you know, at that point, he's got his hand on it. He's sort of sent the recipe out there for, what it's going to take to win a championship. Us being back here in the SEC country, we see it every week. You know, they bang up on one another, beat each other up. Then they get in some of these other games, and it's like playing their off schedule. So there's a lot to it. So I think, you know, with that being said, I don't think Clemson is as good as they were. I think Oklahoma State is better than they were last year for the simple reason they can play defense. I think that Jalen Hurts, to me, does a better job than the Murray guy did because, he's bigger, sort of dual threat kind of guy, and he's smart, can see the field a little better. I think they possibly might win out and be one of the teams in the playoffs. I think Ohio State will be there. I guess a lot of it depends on if a one-win team is, you know, going to get in or not. Because Alabama and LSU play in 2 weeks. I know that Alabama and Alabama plays Arkansas this week, but 2 weeks they play LSU, but LSU and Auburn play, and then Auburn and Alabama will play at the end of the year. So, you know, it's very possible Auburn got beat by Florida. So they got one loss. If LSU gets beat by Auburn, then LSU will have one loss. They were to beat Alabama, and Alabama would have one loss. So, you know, then you've got then at the end, Alabama or Auburn one would knock each other out because if Alabama would happen to lose and Auburn happened to win out. Whoever would win that game would have only one loss. So there's a lot to be, you know, decided there. I think it's going to be tough for the SEC to get two teams in because I think with Clemson's schedule, I mean, they don't even play. I mean, ACC is really, really weak, and I don't think that anybody's going to beat them. So I think they're going to stay up there, and I think that these SEC teams are going to bang up on one another, knock each other out. So it's probably going to be one SEC team, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Clemson, somewhere along that line. I really believe that it's going to be somewhere around in there because It's shaping up to be that way because they haven't. Clemson hasn't played anybody in a long time. I think, not even sure who their toughest game was this year, but so far it looks to be the North Carolina game might have been their toughest game. But that's just, you know, there's still a lot to be played. A lot can happen. I know it's probably, what, week 8, I think 10 or week 7, and they still got 5 games left, I guess, because Tennessee's 2-5. So there's a good possibility that think anything could happen between now and then, is what I'm trying to say. And I don't know any of them's schedule, so there's no telling, you know, what it might come down to. But that's certainly, you know, right now the top 6 teams, I would say, especially if Wisconsin would be right now today, would be Alabama, LSU, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Clemson, and Baylor. You know, that's probably top 6 teams, not necessarily in any of that order, but I think it's going to be those, you know, among those 6 teams that make up the 4 for the playoffs in college and the national championship game. So we'll see. There's a lot of football to be played yet. Like I said, I believe there's still 5 games. We know anything can happen in 5 games, of course. And there's no way of knowing yet. I know we can speculate and talk, and I don't even listen to these sports shows. I can't hardly stand here all these guys talking more, but it certainly is looking like that. Then you go to the pros, and you know, we still got 2 unbeaten in the New England Patriots and the San Francisco 49ers. I was just told earlier that the 49ers got a big boost at receiver. They got Emmanuel Sanders from the Denver Broncos. I didn't know that it was going to trade him, but I was told just a little while ago that the 49ers got him. That will certainly help because he's a, in my opinion, he's a top 5 receiver in the league when he's healthy, at least top 10. I'll say that, at least top 10 when he's healthy. And so that will most certainly help the 49ers. The last time I watched New England play, their defense was really, really, looked really, really good. But their offense just didn't look that good at all. And I didn't get to see the game last night, but I seen where they had won pretty good. And I do like Greg Williams, the Jets D coordinator. So they must have played pretty good if they hung 30-some on the Jets and had them scoreless. I know everybody was high on the Jets after they beat the Dallas Cowboys there last week and Sam Darnold back. So I think they're really high up on – they were high up on them. So there's a – you know, we'll see. There's only been one team throughout the NFL that ever go unbeaten all the way, and that's the Dolphins. And it's so tough. I mean, we've seen the Patriots do it several years ago when I think they had the best team they ever had with Randy Moss, and the Giants coming there with, you know, nobody giving them a chance, and, you know, those guys making some unbelievable throws to, you know, unbelievable catches, throws and catches to get that game and, you know, keep it close and the Giants winning it down the stretch. So, you know, to me, it's just a matter of when, you know, somebody's going to knock one of these teams off. I don't know, you know, what who either one of them play next week, but I think it's just a matter of time. I guarantee if you'd ask the coaches, they're going to tell you nothing good ever becomes from a loss. And it's hard to ever rebound from a loss, but, you know, if it happens, I'd say that, you know, it might be a little relief because, you know, with only one team ever doing it. And I think New England had the chance with the best team they ever had to do it and not getting the job done. I think that there's a chance that it may not ever happen again. So, but anyway, nevertheless, those two teams are still unbeaten, that being the New England Patriots and the San Francisco 49ers. You know, the Patriots are certainly a dynasty nowadays, and the 49ers used to be. In the 80s, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Roger Craig, Steve Young. They had Terrell Owens back then. They had another receiver called John Taylor. Had some good defensive players. Had a tight end, Dwight Clark. They had a lot of really good players, you know. So now, hey, they're still doing it, man. Glad to see they're, you know, winning. And I don't even know if they won, what, two or three games last year. They've already won more games this year than they won all last year. So glad to see it. Speaking of glad to see it, I was glad to see the Titans pull the win out against the Chargers. Did anybody out there listening see that? Me and Jennifer was some girls that play on the team was eating and was watching it. And I thought, honestly, when Mike Vrabel didn't challenge the first down, which I thought Titans got, when he didn't challenge that first down, I thought for sure that the game was over. I felt for sure that it was a first down by the way they showed it. I mean, I'm not a fan of this crap, reaching the ball over the goal line and all that, but being it's the rule, you know, by that rule, he rushed that ball across by a good 2 foot, you know. When Vrabel didn't challenge it, I just knew that the Chargers was gonna come down and win that game. And, you know, then they had come down and scored twice, only to have the 2 scores reversed, and then end up fumbling the third time as they're getting ready to score with just a very few seconds on the clock. Wow, I just didn't, you know, I was thinking the whole time, man, not challenging, that's going to really come back to haunt them. Just couldn't believe it. What a break they got right there at the end. And you know, sometimes it just happens to happen that way. I know in 2017, you know, we was lucky enough to win the championship, and you know, one of the girls asked me before the season started, you know, what would you say our chances are to win a championship? I said, well, first of all, you got to win every single game that you're supposed to win. No doubt about it. There's going to be some games in there that you're just way better than your opponents. You got to win those games. Those others, you've got to compete and win as many as you can. You got to have a little bit of luck. And sometimes that ball's just got to bounce your way, you know. And you know, it's just odd. It happens that way. You know, just think of how many games have been won and lost by, you know, somebody having that ball on the onside kick and it squirting out, or, you know, somebody recovering a fumble to they just hold on to it to end the game, and another team gets it and goes on to score. Stuff like that is what you have to have to win championships. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. There, you know, you have to have that ball bounce your way. You got to win all the games you're supposed to win. Compete in all the games that you should compete in. Win all of them that you know that you possibly can. And I know that's the objective, but this, and there's sometimes you just line up that, you know you're better. Sometimes you line up, you know you're not, and you just got to, win all the games you're supposed to. And like I said, have a little help, maybe a bad call that you haven't got in the past. You get, it goes your way. There are just certain things that, you have to have happen to win a championship. So certainly the Titans will take that. I think that puts them about 500, maybe, or one game under. Not sure what their record is, but I know the Chargers, they had high expectations, and they're in a bad situation. I mean, they're tied with Denver, and Denver holds the tiebreaker because they beat them. And, with Phillip out there, he's the kind of guy, if he keeps his mouth shut, you can like him because his work ethic's there, his way of living is there and all that. But, man, he just can't keep that mouth shut. He wants to run off about other stuff. And so I was glad to see the Titans win that. What about the Browns? Here they've had big high expectations. I thought for sure last year when Greg Williams took over them, when they fired the guy from Hugh Jackson, which I never did think was the right fit. Greg Williams took over as interim coach, and they won, 75% of the games. He was there and then didn't get the job. And they got this other guy that's supposed to be some big quarterback guru or offensive coordinator. And look what's going on there. And so I was, wish Greg would have got that job. I like him, but the expectations for them is high, and they seem to be the old Browns all over again. Not winning, sort of think of what won one game they probably shouldn't have, and the rest of them they probably shouldn't have won. So they're just not looking real good. I know that some of these teams are having quarterbacks hurt. What about New Orleans? Teddy Bridgewater coming in there. Of course, I think about anybody could come in and quarterback that team with the weapons that New Orleans has. They got Alvin Kamara, which, in my opinion, is the best offensive player in football, in NFL right now. Then you got one of the best receivers, but the defense is playing really good. Got a great coach over there, Drew Brees. I mean, they lost one game. What, they just lose the game he get hurt, maybe? Or they lose the next one? I'm not sure, but they've only lost one game. And Teddy Bridgewater's playing good. The Green Bay Packers, they've got, one loss. Should have won the game they lost. Well, they lost to Philadelphia, I guess, which in turn got killed by the Cowboys. Speaking of the Cowboys, we did find Mike Wallace. He showed up Sunday. I think one of our players, Jessica Tweed, was out wandering around, and they bumped into one another and decided to talk each other off the ledge and get back to reality. And here Dallas has one game in a row. So, everything's all good in Big D and all the Big D fans around here this week. Mike's even happy if Texas Longhorns beat the Kansas Jayhawks 50-48. So he's happy as of right now. So we'll see how it goes, but they certainly looked a lot better. I will say that their Cowboys looked a lot better this past weekend than than they had been. Of course, turnovers, getting the ball on short field and all that sure helped them. I hope the Cowboys linebacker's back, though, because I like that guy, that Brandreth guy. He's a really, really good player. I'm getting a beep in my ear saying the Cowboys are back on top in their division again, so we must have somebody out there listening that's a Cowboys fan. So, but then again, you don't even – they weren't they on top at 3-3? I mean, I didn't know in the NFC East you had to have a winning record to be on top. But anyway, they are on top. They did look a lot better. They look like they did in the first four games that they'd won. So they're maybe they're back to their old way. But you know what? I do like their young offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore. He played at Boise State. Was a pretty good quarterback in his own right. I like him. I like Rod Marinelli. I'm not a fan of Jason Garrett, but they got a lot of good pieces to the puzzle out there. I just don't know that the quarterback's an elite quarterback. I will say this: their running back is sure enough elite. I know they paid him dearly, but he's the real deal. He is the real deal. I heard him say. Heard the announcer say the other night that he said people didn't hit him, he hit them. And I love that. I don't like him, but I love the way he runs and the way he plays. And everything's always north and south. He's always getting upfield. He ain't looking to get away from any contact or shine of it. He's hunting. I like that. So he most certainly is the real deal. That's one thing about Kamara. Kamara's, he's not that much of a power runner, but he's really really a great receiver, and he's hard to bring down as well. I watched some of the workouts and him training and stuff, and of how he keeps his balance and that kind of stuff. It's unreal that guy is, but. Anyway, it's still way too early to tell in the NFL. I know that the Saints look really good. Just when you think Seattle is looking like Seattle of old, Baltimore goes in there and thrashes them. Baltimore's got they've only got two losses maybe. You got the Packers. I thought Detroit was looking pretty good, and they lost a couple in a row, Minnesota. It's still way too early yet to tell. I know the Rams got back on track. They're 4-3. There's a lot of good teams that I think are going to be there in the end that are 4-3 right now. So, there's a lot of football, especially in the NFL, to be played. So we'll see what happens along the line. There's still a long way to go yet. Let's take a short break here this second, then we'll get back to answering these questions and see if I can do them any justice and get as many answers as I can.
Hi, I'm Brandy, owner of H&D Therapy. We are certified PEMF therapy as well as equine massage therapy with certifications in human, small animal, and equine. I have been using Pulse Electronic Magnetic Field Technology for over 10 years. This technology is helping people and all animals with making their lives happier and healthier. H&D Therapy helps all athletes of any sport by using PEMF to aid in enhancing their performance. PEMF therapy and achieving peak performance go hand in hand. When the athlete's muscles are at their best condition, peak performance is easier to achieve. We can help with improving energy, help pain management, accelerate healing, reduce inflammation, helps strengthen bones, increase circulation, and increase oxygen levels in the blood, and many, many more benefits to have a healthier body. Come find us on Facebook and the web at hndtherapy.com or call 865-456-1976 to make an appointment or get more information.
All right. Well, thank you, Brandy. Appreciate that. I know that that really works. I've had I've had some of it done on my back, and it's really helped. I know some of the players have had some done, and it seems to be working as well. And like I said, the more you do, it is a therapy, and the more you do, the better you get. So we want to thank her for a sponsorship for Tri-City Women's Thunder and for the show here in the fifth quarter. I'm going to get some questions. We've had a little inter-squad scrimmage this past Sunday, divided up between two teams and played, and it was really good. I learned a lot about a lot of players, seen a lot of really good things and a lot of things that that wasn't so good. So we will see how things go in the weeks to come before we go to Titan Stadium to play. But I'm gonna start answering some of these questions here, and one of them is going to be one of them, and actually, is what can a wide receiver, a slot receiver, and a tight end do to get better at home? And the biggest thing I see, and it's not just at those three positions, but it's all throughout women's position. The other night, I watched Elizabeth and Greenville play, which is two really good high school teams, and college and pros. What I noticed about these teams versus women's is them getting off the ball. The firing off the ball, getting out there wide open. And it's when you're watching and you're watching as a receiver and all that, they're looking down that line of scrimmage. They can also hear, but they're looking down that line of scrimmage. And when that center moves that ball, they're firing out of it. Learning the proper way to stand at those three positions to where when you leave out there, you're not taking a false step, not stepping backwards before you're stepping forward, no wasted motion. Every single thing that you take time to do, you're giving that defensive person an opportunity to cover you. I heard him say this on the TV the other day, and I've said it a million times. When you go to the line of scrimmage, two things you have on the defense. You know what the play is, and you know what the snap count is. Those two things. But only one do we really use at our advantage, and I'm talking about all women's football, and that's knowing what the play is. We don't get off the ball like we should, so, it sort of evens out. Learning how to do that at home. I mean, you can do this standing in your living room or in your kitchen or in your front yard. This particular person has kids and boys that play. They can help her by, moving that ball and taking a good step. Just standing out there, standing in awkward positions, catching the ball, that kind of stuff. Learning all the plays so when you hear them, you know exactly what to do. All that stuff you can work on at home. You don't have to have a quarterback. You don't have to have me there telling you what to do. All that stuff you can do at home and do yourself. Another question: what's the best way to improve as a DB? Well, to me, first of all, you gotta understand the kind of coverage it is. You know, now we don't play nothing special. We just sort of stood a man up, we woman up, and that's how, you know, we play. Knowing who to cover. I mean, you know, if you're playing a safety, you know, you got to know who you got. You got to know if they go in motion. In our particular defense, do I go in motion? If they're playing safety and you don't have a receiver, cornerback goes in motion, you got to understand at that point in time you become a quarterback. It's understanding is making yourself better than anything else. I mean, yeah, I'll take speed, I'll take physicality, all that. But understanding will help you make up for all that. And, you know, if you can make those decisions real decisive without having to think about it, because on defense, it's a reaction. And if your first reaction is soon as such and such goes in motion and that quarterback, the cornerback goes with her, hey, I already know I've got outside contained at that point. I don't have to hesitate. I'm moving up there now. Here's what happens. If you're playing safety and you don't, then you're not as fast as these other people. Then you're that much farther away. So then it becomes a foot race. You're going to lose it, not necessarily anybody in general, but because you're out of position, you're not where you were supposed to be. I watched, I don't know how much, on last Saturday and Sunday, arm tackling. So I was sick of seeing arm tackling from these men and these pros and all that. They arm tackle for two reasons. One, they don't want to hit nobody, and two, they're out of position. So naturally, if you don't understand what you're supposed to do, you're going to be out of position. No hesitation. You can't. You got to do it without hesitation. And you know, if you don't have anybody to cover, it's sort of simple. If I'm playing safety, my cornerback on my side leaves, I become the outside contained at that point. You know, so getting better is really understanding the defense you're in, understanding who you have, the coverage of who you got, you know, and, you know, understand how your coach wants you to defend. Some players want to put their backs to the quarterback and push the receivers to the sideline. You know, some coaches want to put their backs to the sideline and force the receivers inside, so they can see the ball. So all that, just, it all depends on how, you know, your coach wants you to do it. But, you know, just understanding the position that you're playing will help you tremendous. Another question is, what do you as a head coach expect and look for as a leader of a team like a captain? Well, first and foremost, you know, for me, you got to be tough. That's the number one thing for me, is you got to be dependable, you got to be accountable, but you got to be tough, because some of the toughest players on our team don't say a word, but they lead by example. I mean, you know, without a shadow of a doubt that when, you know, when somebody needs a tackle made, who's going to make it? Or if you need that extra yard, you know who's going to run it. You know, those are the type of things that I look for. You know, things that I don't look for is a lot of chattering, a lot of mouth. You know, I don't like that kind of stuff. I think you'll just go play, let your play do your talking for you. And at the end of the game, you celebrate the win as a whole. And so I probably look at it a lot different. I know, of course, you want production, but sometimes production comes with a lot of people, you know, wanting to celebrate more about themselves. So, you know, unselfishness, toughness, those are the first, accountability, you know, dependable, personable. I mean, they may get after you, but be the first to pick you up when you're on the ground, or first to help you out in a situation. All those are the first things I would look for in a team leader. We most certainly have several of those on our, you know, on our team. No doubt about it. What do you appreciate most about your players, their ability to play and their willing to learn? Well, the main thing I appreciate them is, you know, just coming to play. You know, some of these girls, women, never played a sport, coming out here trying to learn. Some of them at a young age, some of them at an older age. Just the fact that they're willing to get out there, willing to learn, you know, that's what I appreciate about them, the willing to show up every week, you know, the willing to go through injuries and still, you know, come back and know that, listen, anything can happen. I mean, you know, you can get hurt doing all kinds of stuff. And, you know, just for me alone, it's, you know, I see it every year. It's, you know, I see all these, so much potential come through. But, you know, I just told Jennifer the other day, you know, I don't want no tire kickers. And that's so much of that is what getting these questions in here left and right. But so much of that, you know, you get these people are not serious. So for me, what I appreciate most about the players is the seriousness. And, you know, the most, you know, to be dependable, to be accountable. And lots of people have forgotten what that means. If you don't make millions of dollars, they think you can't be those three things. And I beg to differ. There's so much that I'm dependable and accountable about that don't pay anything and, you know, just enjoy and love. So I appreciate that more than anything. You know, their willingness to, you know, show up and, you know, to learn is, you know, that's so much, you know, on them that, I mean, it sort of leads into the same thing. But if you want to learn, I mean, like this, I'm not poking at this girl, but when several girls missed the scrimmage yesterday. And, you know, one of them says, oh, I need somebody to meet me, show me what I missed. I'm sure everybody I'm, you know, dedicated to speak. Well, listen, I appreciate all that. But here's the thing. There's nothing we can do to show her what she missed. I mean, we could film it and we could show her, but, I mean, you've never been in any contact. You've never played. You missed all that, you know. So for the people to show up, to go through that, I mean, I know some of them were sore today and yesterday. Hey, it was physical. I loved it. So, you know, for all those that stick it out, get it out, travel lots of miles, you know, go through a lot with their families to make it. And, you know, that's a big thing for me. So I just really, you know, if they're here to stay, they all got my utmost respect. Now, I may, you know, may get after them from time to time when I get tired of saying the same thing over. But it's all for their their best, no doubt about it. So next one. By the way, yes, the one question was, can my wife get a new puppy? Yes, she can. Where do you stand on your honesty levels in the areas of improvement since you coach women? You know, you said the person that sent this, you know, knows the answer, but, you know, it's tough to improve because each year is a different year, and, you know, we try, you know, and it's not, I had just had a player ask me last night, speaking of this, you know, one of our players said, hey, how long are we going to keep, you know, recruiting or taking players or whatever? And my exact honest answer to her was, well, it depends on who it is and how much knowledge they have. Now, and for that being, we got a couple of young, new, well, let's say a lot of new, some new recruits, not necessarily young or old, new recruits that doesn't know anything about football, but they've been to every tryout and every workout. Now, I can't tell you that they come in as threes and they're up to ones. They're not. They're still threes, but they're way better than they were. And, you know, those are improvements. Now, if they all of a sudden start missing, then I can't improve that. Well, that hurts our whole team because it's just like this person talking about, you know, wanting to, you know, meet and go through this other stuff, you know, what they missed. I can't. I mean, I don't know what I can do because you miss a team thing. But each time you have to stop or start and go over and over and over and over, you're slowing the process down. And, you know, improving this particular person asking that I'm answering these questions for right now came the first year we won a championship and then played on a team the next year that had the talent. We just couldn't get it together. Then got hurt last year. She knows how much improvements we've made. She knows she's got to make that much more improvements to be a big part of this. And that's how you do it. Improve every year. You get dedication. You get commitment. And you get that from me. You get that from your players, your veterans, on down the line. And that's how you improve it. And we got to improve our team, and then it may trigger over to the next team. And before you know it, we've improved the whole process. But for us, it starts right here. And, you know, there's a lot that we got to, you know, keep doing and learn ourselves to get improved before we can ever, reach our potential goals. So I got one more question by this person. I'm going to move on. It says, what do you think you did different to earn the respect of other adults to treat you as a respected authority figure, not just as a peer, because we all do? Well, you know, I think the biggest thing is I learned a long time ago from an older guy. I was telling a guy that I work with now, me and him went to school together for several years, and we were talking about it. The guy that's my boss now, I graduated with, and he's both my bosses. And, you know, I've known him for a long time too, but I treat him like a boss. And I think you have to separate the difference of when you step on that field. I had a player that played for us for several years tell me exactly, wow, you're way different when you're off the field than you are when you're on the field. Well, when I'm out there, I want it to be all about seriousness and all about business. And then when it's over, then you can sort of be yourselves. I think, you know, getting, you know, some of these girls are, you know, close to my age, or some of them are not. Some of them are, you know, up there. And it is, you know, we're all adults, or not all of us, but most of us. And I think it is, you know, a respect thing. And they understand that, you know, it's just like the question of a leader. You know, they understand, hey, this guy is going to lead us. If we have to run through that wall, he's going to bust a hole for us. And that's what you have to set, you know, the president, the president's over is how can you get that across? And, you know, it's just been something that, you know, for the past 6 years that I've tried to really work on. And, you know, even some of the players tell me, you know, just on Sundays, man, I just appreciate what you do and see and all that. It's just, you know, it's things. And listen, I've had bad conversations with about all these players at some point in time, you know, because they might not like my harsh words or what I said while we were on the field or whatnot or in certain conversations. But they know at the end of the day that I'm going to be there for them. They know at the end of the day I'm always going to be honest with them, and I'm going to help them in any situation. But when we're there to learn, and we're there to take it serious, and to get better as football players, not just there as buddy buddies. And I learned that a long time ago. You got to separate your friendship from your bosses or whatever. A lot of people can't do that. And I think that's the biggest thing. And I think, being the hard ass, I guess you'd say, when you have to be and not being so when you need not to be. And that, I think everybody just sort of understands the difference, and it's really worked out for us. And, I'm glad it has. All right, let's see here. There's some questions. Let's see. We got this. This will be a good question. It says, what makes your coaching style more effective than most in women's football? Most teams change coaches frequently due to compatibility with the team. Well, again, when we started, when Jennifer played in Chattanooga, down there, they tried to get me to help, not in any capacity, just wanted me to help. And you know what? Most people wouldn't do this, and I didn't help them even though they needed a coach, because my philosophy and this guy's philosophy and all their philosophies were not the same. So I stayed out of the way. I said no, and I stayed back. I worked with Jennifer at home and helped her on stuff she needed worked on, and I let her do her own thing. So when we started this team, everybody said, oh, that won't work, that won't work, that won't work. We've never wavered from that. Now, it's been tough. I can't say that it's not been, because we played with very few players first year and the second year. So we've had it tough, but sticking to my guns and believing in what I'm doing, believing in how we're doing it, has been to me the most successful thing. I know a lot of these teams have went through so many coaches in so many years. We've lost a couple of coaches, but I'm still here. And Mike Wallace has been here since the second year, and we've lost two that left for different reasons. But other than that, we're still here. So we're going to been four coaches here in 6 years. So I think that's a big, you adjust the players to what you want done. And it may not be their strong suit. You have to keep working on it. Now, it's maybe not the plays. You might change some of the plays to fit their talent, but the groundwork is there. There's just certain things about this organization that's never going to change. I can assure you that. It doesn't matter. Or at least it won't change as long as I've got a hand in it. I can guarantee you that. And I think that's some of the biggest things to our success. So then it says, what about the Thunder allows us to retain so many players? Most women's teams struggle with retention and commitment regardless of to the season's record. Well, I'll be honest with you, just in the last couple of years, we've started retaining players, and we lost a lot in the beginning, too. And I'll be honest, that's why we don't have five championships and we've only got two, is retaining these players. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But it's a process. Everybody said we couldn't get a team. Everybody said we'd never win a game. We've won a bunch of games. We've won 80% of our games. I figured up that or not, we've won 80% of our games in 6 years by starting from scratch, a brand new organization here in a small area. Now, a lot of this is we're getting a lot of players, a lot of good players from other areas and other teams. That like the way we do things, that we're retaining them. Other teams couldn't hold them. They weren't getting what they needed from those teams. and they're getting it here. And, you know, I'm glad we got them. I mean, listen, our success is we are successful because of them. No ifs, ands, or buts. I hope they're, you know, here to stay. They like it here. We like them. You know, it's different vibe here. You know, we're all about winning. We all want to win. We want to do it the right way. And that's through hard work and dedication. No ifs, ands, or buts. Those two things. And, you know, if somebody don't want to do that here, they certainly can go on down the road and play for somebody else. One more said on this same person says, what suggestions do you have to players to help them stay injury-free yet remain aggressive through the whole season? Well, I think just that general, I think staying healthy is, you know, naturally staying in good shape. No doubt about it. I see some of our best players are not in shape. I'm not in shape either. I'm in terrible shape. But when I played, I was in the best shape I'd ever been in my life. I think, you know, eating well, you know, staying healthy, working out, staying limber. You know, that to me seems to be the most important thing anymore is being agile. You know, being able to take these hits in rolled up ways. Or, you know, I seen one player this week fall and really hit hard and jumped right up. And, you know, I seen a lot of them take a lot of abuse. And I think it's just, you know, getting yourself in better shape, no matter what position you play, no matter how old you are, how young you are, where you play at on either side of the ball, just being in better shape, being more agile, you know, and staying physical. I firmly believe that being physical, having Zeke Elliott's attitude that I'm hitting them, they're not hitting me, I think that's a tribute to staying healthy. You start letting them hit you, and those hits are going to rack up. It don't hurt near as bad as if you lower your shoulder and run over them as it does you letting them run over you. So that's, you know, to me, those are the, you know, the keys to staying healthy. And I, like I said, I hope that, you know, we get to stay healthy. I hope that, you know, we're in better shape than what we were. Moving on to a different person says, what were some takeaways from the scrimmage? Well, we learned a lot. I learned a lot about where we think, what we need to work on, no doubt about it. I learned, you know, who can play where, who can't. I already knew most of this, but, you know, there was certain things that, you know, we take away from it that I won't elaborate on here, but, you know, I will as a team, but, you know, our toughness is certainly one of the biggest keys to our success. And we've got a lot of tough girls, but we've got a lot of girls that ain't so tough, and they're going to have to get tougher. No ifs, ands, or buts. They're going to play here. They're going to play on this team, which is going to be a pretty good team. They better get tougher because standing to the side, trying to arm tackle somebody ain't going to cut it for me, because there's somebody, I'll guarantee you, on this team willing to lower their shoulder and put it in there. And I've seen a lot of that this weekend, and I was really excited about it. So I see some really good things. If need be, I'll answer more of that in our next workout or practice. The same person says, in your opinion, what are keys or must-haves to developing team unity among players? Well, you know, I think that, you know, honestly, and I know I said this probably a million times, and it really is a thing, but hard work, dedication, and commitment. I think those three things will unite a team together more than anything. And that being because they're all committed, they're all there, and they're all working hard. And everybody wants to work as hard as this person and that person. And this person wants to see, hey, you know what? This ain't the youngest person on the team. By God, they're the toughest person on the team, or they're the best player on the team, or this person's young. Look how much energy they got. I think there's so much of that comes from those three things. I think that that will be the keys to unifying a team is hard work, commitment, and dedication, and that, you know, everybody doing their job. Listen, I fully understand some of these girls are not going to play their dream position. And the reason being, there's other girls that are just flat out better than them. So, you know what? They may have to get a bit of a wide receiver. They may be a slot receiver. You know, instead of being a corner, they may be a safety. Instead of being a such and such, they might be something else. You know what? You just got to buckle down and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to be the best safety I can be, or I'm going to be the best slot receiver I can be. You can't sit around and pout, or you'll get left behind, then you won't be playing at all. So, you know, if you get out there and those three things, everybody's committed, everybody's working hard, you know, accountable, you know, they're together. We have a team exercise. You look around and all your players are out there. That's what unifies you. That's what makes you one. You know, that's what, to me, makes you whole. And it all starts with your veteran players, you know. Be willing to help when you need to. Be willing to be hard when you need to. You know, I've seen a few girls quit on some plays this weekend. It didn't make me happy at all. Still don't make me happy. You know, throwing little fits and temper tantrums and all that. That don't do you any good. You want to get mad, that's fine. But get mad, get better. Don't be throwing your fits and act like a kid. You know, you're going to take your sandbox and go home or whatever. Take it and go, man. You know, if that's the way you want it to be, take it and go. There ain't nobody cares. This is football. We ain't got time for that stuff. You know, so I think, you know, people, I've seen other teammates, you know, saying, hey, let's go. Let's not, you know, quit. This thing ain't over, blah, blah, blah. That's the kind of stuff that's going to unify us in the end. And I think we're, you know, we got some good leadership from our veterans. And I think we're headed in the right direction. Let's see. I know I got another one here somewhere. Let's see. It says, what does compassion for the sport get confused from trash talking? Man, that's a good question. I'll tell you. I see so many great players that, to me, it takes away from the game because they want to do all this trash talking. You know, they want to do all this smack and this and that and blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever just happened about playing the game. And if you're not on the best team and you get beat at the end of the game, at least you can walk through there. And you can shake the other team's hand and know you did everything you could. You can hold your head high because there's just certain things you can't control. You know, one person, and I'll say this a million times, one person will not win a football game. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if, you know, if you make 20 tackles a game, who's going to make the other 40? You know, so one person is not going to win a football game. And if, as a football player, and that's exactly what I'm saying, as a football player, not women or men or kids or boys or girls. As a football player, you go do your job and you do everything you can and you do it the right way. Win or lose, at the end of that game, you line up on the 50 and hold your head high knowing you did all you could to help your team win, whether they won or not. Now, you can be sad about the loss when you get in the locker room or at practice when you work on stuff for all week. But you got to be happy within yourself knowing that you did all you can do. And it goes back to that question that I was answering a minute ago about the unifying and getting better. Maybe this next person sees you doing it and they feed off of it. And then it's like a domino's effect. But what I see so much of is these players that are really good, they want to talk all this trash. And then they end up getting beat, you know, or then they end up getting scored on, or then they end up losing, and, you know, then it just takes away from the game. To me, it just takes away from the game. I like, you know, if you can throw five touchdowns and a winning or losing effort, you did a hell of a job. That's all I say. I don't care who you are. You did a great job. And, you know, same with making tackles. I'll never forget, never, ever forget the year 2017, we won a championship. One of the best players we ever played against. One of the best things we ever played against. Talking trash the whole game, running right at her, gaining 8 and 10 yards of play. Talking trash the whole game. And I'm thinking, for what? I mean, we're almost getting the first down every time we come right at you. You might make the tackle, but, I mean, you're making it 8 or 10 yards down the field. You know, why? Why not just keep your mouth shut and play? I'm going to have a lot more respect for you than you running your mouth. But I see so much of it. I hear so much of it about on the social media crap, which I do not do, and everybody knows me, knows I don't do. There's just so much about it. I would enjoy the game so much better, if it wasn't a celebration every time you made a play. Hey, you wanna celebrate, win a championship. That's when you can celebrate. That's when old hard ass here celebrates, when you win that championship and hoist up that trophy. I'll do a little dance at the end of that game. That's when I like to celebrate. But until then, you know, you got to be happy. You got to take those wins because they're hard to get. You got to learn from those losses. And you can be compassionate about winning. But leave the trash talking to wrestling or something. You know, something that's real face. I mean, you know, so to me, I just like to line up and play. And at the end of the day, if you beat me, say, hey, we did our best. You beat us. We'll try to get you next time. You know, if we beat you, same way. I hate to lose. Anybody that knows me knows I hate to lose. I mean, that's, you know, just like this little scrimmage we had. I wanted to win. There ain't no doubt. I wanted to win. But, you know, I watch both teams as well and learn a lot from the other team. But when I'm sitting over here looking and putting them in position, we did it for a reason. And that was to put them in game-type situations, game-type positions and possessions and things that we did with the ball. So, yeah, I mean, I learned from it. But when we start keeping the score, I want to win. That's just the bottom line. And, I'm going to learn from it either way. And I learned a lot. And I hope you girls that got to play in it learned a lot. We still got a lot of work to do. I mean, we're green as a goer behind the ear. Made a bunch of mistakes. We've got to get cleaned up. A bunch of mistakes. Like I said, we've got different people playing different positions, places they've never played. It's going to be it's a work in progress. You know, that's what we are. So, but I had a ball doing it. It really was fun. The concept of it, you know, of grading all these players and dividing them up and making sure one team's strength was, you know, one team had, their strength was something else and the other one was something else, and making sure they all had defensive players that can play certain positions. It was a challenge for us to get them put together, but it was a lot of fun. So, you know, that's compassionate to me. And I might talk a little trash to Mike or, you know, him back and forth or something, but, you know, I like to just play. I have talked some trash on the field, these players, when they get to talking, but if they don't say anything, I usually keep my mouth shut because I just like to see good play. We got some girls on our team that don't celebrate, and I really, really like that. That's a big thing for me and a big plus. So, hey, great questions from everybody. I really appreciate it, getting them sent in. Made time fly by. Gets us deeper in the process of football and women's football and, you know, what it really takes to keep it going, you know, to understanding it. And, you know, listen, you got 25 to 30 different women out there and different ages, and they all got different mindsets, and all of them, you know, play different positions, and they all have different ideas, but, you know, a lot of them think the same. There's a lot to it. So being able to, you know, to be the commander of the ship and have everybody on the same page, it really means a lot, you know, and it's a lot of fun. And I do have a lot of respect for all these girls, you know, some of them more so than others for different reasons, not just to play, just the things they have to go through to play. But certainly it's been a lot of fun, and it's going to continue to be a lot of fun here. So thank everybody for listening. I do appreciate it, and who knows what we'll get into next Tuesday night. But till then, we'll see you then.
Hi, I'm Brandy, owner of H&D Therapy. We are certified PEMF therapy as well as equine massage therapy, with certifications in human, small animal, and equine. I have been using Pulse Electronic Magnetic Field Technology for over 10 years. This technology is helping people and all animals with making their lives happier and healthier. H&D Therapy helps all athletes of any sport by using PEMF to aid in enhancing their performance. PEMF therapy and achieving peak performance go hand in hand. When the athlete's muscles are at their best condition, peak performance is easier to achieve. We can help with improving energy, help pain management, accelerate healing, reduce inflammation, help strengthen bones, increase circulation, and increase oxygen levels in the blood, and many, many more benefits to have a healthier body. Come find us on Facebook and the web at hndtherapy.com or call 865-456-1976 to make an appointment or get more information.